And we're back.
Yep. Welcome back. Now, we've been looking at the feedback, and mostly positive, thank you very much. But we also take any sort of negative feedback seriously as well. Not that there's been much, I'm pleased to say. But the actual session 1.2, getting started with Windows Phone, was a kind of a rehash or a little bit on what we've just said. And it was essentially about getting the tools. Now, I think you were emailed with suggestions for getting the tools. Hopefully you have already got the beta, the Windows Phone developer tool set, and you've downloaded that and you're ready to use that. So we're just going to skip on that. If you go to to our website, you can still see the slides for 1.2. But actually we're going to skip over that, and we're going to go straight into the code on this one, because we are running a little bit.
Code. So yep. We'll give them code.
And we love you all. We love you all.
Well, code is what we want to do. And thanks very much for the lines. I've got jokes coming in. Is this where I sign up for joke of the day? Probably. Rob is so tall, he tripped on a rock and his head hit the moon.
Okay.
Why, thank you. I love you too. But we're going to go straight into the code now, because that's what people want. The session that we've shot past is basically just an overview of the development process, which we're going to do now anyway.
Indeed.
So, my glamorous assistant.
So, this session is about Silverlight on Windows Phone 7. So we're going to create our first application, and we're going to just walk through it. Now, I'm conscious that not all of you are going to be beginners with Silverlight, but then some of you are. So it's always a bit awkward trying to find a pace that's going to satisfy everybody. And clearly with an audience this big, that's just not going to be possible. So we're going to start fairly gently, just for the first 10 minutes or so. But very, very soon, extremely soon, you'll be pleased to know, we're getting into stuff that's really specific to Windows Phone. So by the end of this session, we will have created our first application. We'll have hooked up some control event stuff. We're going to talk about the theming and the styling, and some of the stuff that the customization of Silverlight controls that make it appropriate for text input on a phone platform. And then we're going to wrap up with an introduction to data binding in Silverlight. So I hope that's going to be of interest to a good number of you. So, Silverlight on Windows Phone 7. So, Silverlight on this platform is based on Silverlight 3. Silverlight 3 feature set, some phone-specific additions. Now, of course, the big difference with Silverlight on Windows Phone 7 compared to its big brother in the desktop browser-based implementation. So, just a step back into a little history timeline, if you like. So Silverlight 1 came out, and you could only program that using JavaScript. Silverlight 2 was pretty soon after that, and that, for the first time, introduced the ability to write your application logic using C#. So it had a little .NET Common Language runtime underneath it all, and that was even implemented for running on other platforms. So you can write Silverlight applications using managed code that run in a browser plugin on Macs and other non-Windows platforms. So that was Silverlight 2. Now, Silverlight 3, when that came out, that added the most interesting feature of that was the ability to have applications that, although we would first deploy them in the browser, as most Silverlight applications were, you could actually also then install that down as a local app onto your desktop, so they would run out of browser. Now, when we get to Windows Phone 7, that is the only way you can run Silverlight apps. They are always out of browser. In fact, in version 1 of Windows Phone 7, you cannot even have, there is no Silverlight plugin for the browser on Windows Phone 7. So this is the only way to run apps. But that being said, it's still, somebody who develops for Silverlight today will be feeling comfortable with this, because it's basically the same syntax and the same development process. But with C# only. Visual Basic, unfortunately, is not supported in version 1. And the Silverlight runtime that this is running on, I mentioned in the previous deck that actually the CLR underneath this is the .NET Compact Framework, a derivative of that, which has already been used for many years for writing managed apps, for running managed apps on Windows Mobile and Windows Embedded CE. So it's got a long track record, and it knows how to make things run on memory and battery-constrained devices. So that's our platform. So in Visual Studio, let's go into Visual Studio. We have three project types. So
desktop share.
I just want to, yeah. close that one. Okay, just I'm going to share the my desktop so you can see Visual Studio. There we go. Should be seeing that coming up now. So this is Visual Studio, and I'm just going to go and look at the new project dialog. So this is, I'm using on here, on my laptop here, this is the Visual Studio 2010 Express Edition for Windows Phone 7. So in case you didn't pick up from the first session, these tools are completely free. No money required to get these tools. And if you download and install the development tool set, at the time of install, it will figure out whether you've actually got one of the paid editions of Visual Studio. And if you have, or if you've got that already, of Visual Studio 2010, if you have, then it will actually integrate the Windows Phone tools into your existing installation. If you haven't got any flavor of Visual Studio 2010, then you get this Express Edition, which has got everything you need to develop apps for Windows Phone 7. And as you can see here, we've got three kinds of templates: a Windows Phone application, a list application, and a class library. So what are these project types? So a Windows Phone application is just a very simple one-page application. And you just basically get, you can see in the graphic there, you get a title and a page heading, and it's there for you to create a simple one-page application. The Windows Phone List application is, as its name suggests, an example, a starter project for doing something that's list-based. So you get a main page with a list of objects, and then it already has the logic built in to click on an item, and then it switches to a second page, the details page. And actually, at the end of this hour, I'm going to dig a lot into this template, because I like you, at the end of this hour, I want you all to understand everything that's in that template, because in actual fact, this starter project, the list application, is a great learning tool. It's got a lot of good stuff in there that as soon as you, if you understand this template, you're well on the way to understanding all the basic stuff you need to write Silverlight apps for Windows Phone 7. And the last one is a class library. So it has no built-in UI stuff. It just you would use that for creating common logic or creating stuff that you want to share across different applications. Before we carry on, I'm just going to switch back to the slides. Three, thank you. I was going to click on the wrong one there.
I'm saving him from himself.
Yeah, I need help, let me tell you. Okay, yes, so the three kinds of things. And notice that bottom bullet point there. These starter projects already, you create them straight up, and they already adopt the look and feel of the Windows Phone platform. Like, duh, as if they wouldn't. Yeah. But it's an interesting point, and once we've created our first app, I'm going to dig straight into how that happens and how you can also make sure you adopt that. So what is that look and feel, that style? So part of the inspiration for the team at Microsoft that created Windows Phone 7, they went ways back when they were planning this product, and they'd realized that the path they were going down with the Windows Mobile product line was, it needed a major reset. So this really was a total reset. And what they have really got a focus on is the user experience. And they want to make sure that people who use these phones find it enjoyable and enhances their life. This is what a mobile phone is. You know, these are not PCs. These are an extension of people's lives, and that you need to have a really good, pleasurable user experience. So this thing, Metro, you may have seen this this term used. Now, what that is talking about is the kind of signage you see in big cities. So if you go to a big city anywhere in the world, even if you're somewhere where they're not speaking your own language, you look at the signage that you see for directions, say in an underground system. You know, you see a sign up, and regardless of your language, generally you can understand what it is telling you to do. So go this way for that destination, go here for luggage check-in, these kind of things.
This is artistic stuff. This is designer stuff. We should both have berries on and be talking with artistic accent to make this work. But yeah. Basically, the idea is that they wanted to make it different and better than what's there already. So they took this way of working and transferred it across to the iconography and the typefaces and the way things appear. They have this sort of form built on, and it's best if you're applications follow that.
Yeah, and this kind of, you know, this has been developed by inventive human beings over many, many decades or centuries, coming up with signage that works. And this is why you see on Windows Phone 7 this very clean design, very clean messaging. It's taking inspiration from that. Now, I want to point out this. If you go to the developerwindowsphone.com site and navigate through to the documentation set, one of the most important documents in there is the Windows Phone UI Design and Interaction Guide, which tells you all about the design messaging. So this is the document that developers will skim through, and they will then hand it to your user experience engineer, who must absorb and learn all the messages. Now, of course, many of you will wear both hats, but one of the interesting things about Silverlight is that there is a nice division between the design role and the application logic. So no more do developers have to try and create snazzy UIs and not be in their comfort zone, because we even have our own tool, Expression Blend, in the tool set that you get for free, which helps user experience engineers develop a really great-looking UI.
Yeah, from the point of view of you folks, though, the bottom line is that if you stick with the templates and the built-in controls, your program will look right. Yep. It'll pick up the behaviors and the design which they've worked so hard to make look good, and as far as you're concerned, pick those up, drop them on the screen, and your code will look like a application which is part of the actual device itself.
Okay. So Silverlight control set is rich but very familiar to existing Silverlight developers. So Visual Studio has all the usual suspects in it, all the borders, buttons, canvas. So for a Silverlight developer, you're going to be comfortable with all this sort of thing. For those of you who are moving from Windows Forms onto Silverlight development for the first time,
it's different but not scary.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Basically, you've got a lot more things you can do, but if you're thinking on the lines of, I want to get some text from the user here, put a message for the user here, and have a button I can press to make things happen, then that's exactly what we're going to do in the next 10, 15 minutes or so.
Indeed.
And you can stick within that comfort zone as much as you like. Yeah. What you can also do is you can pass the thing over to your graphics designer friend who can make the buttons and the text and the style and the animations all make it come alive for you. So that kind of power is available, but you don't have to use it.
No, indeed. Some of these controls have some add-ons that are phone-specific. And a good example is input controls, such as the text box. We have some additional attributes you can set on them to influence the kind of layout of the soft keyboard that comes up, the soft input panel. And we're going to show you that in a moment. So what we're going to do, Rob tells me we're going to create our first application.
Yeah, I'm the customer. Basically, there's an expression in English called "What's the damage, mate?" which is when you're basically buying something, you want to find out how much damage buying this thing will do to your bank account. And so you would say, rather than saying, how much is that car, you go, what's the damage, all right?
Yep.
But you don't have to use the accent. That's just there for dramatic effect, okay? So if I'm in a shop in the States, if I'm in the mall in Bellevue, and I see a rather nice camera for a couple of $100, what I want to know is, how much damage will that do to my bank account? So I have to do two things. I have to figure out the local sales tax, add that, and then convert the price from dollars into pounds. And at that point, I know how much I'm going to have to explain to my wife about, okay? So my problem, and I as the customer have come along with this, is I want to basically type in the price on the tab in the window, and I want to get a number back, which I can then use to decide whether or not to make the payment or not. And so Damage Calc is an application which will let me type in a price, press the calculate button, and give me the number in terms of how much it costs. So this is starting off very simple. It's a single-page Silverlight app, and Andy is now going to basically build this from scratch while standing on one leg and playing the violin.
No violin.
No, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. Have to sit down then.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we'll switch back to Visual Studio.
And we're going to give you all this code as well with one proviso, which is that if you put Damage Calc on the marketplace and make an absolute fortune from this, okay, we want our cut. All right? Apart from that, go for it.
So, we're creating a Windows Phone application, a single-page application, and we're going to create an app and call it, going to give it the name of Damage Calc. Click OK. Now, immediately we've got our design surface up here, and as you can see, it also automatically adopts the Windows Phone look and feel. So, before we start hacking code on this, I just want to dissect this project for you, just to introduce you what it has created for us. So we've got a splash screen image there, .jpg. So when a Windows Phone 7 app first starts, when a user launches it, until the startup logic has run, it will display this splash screen image. So you get a default to splash screen image. You would clearly update that to
very
something.
Very hard to say splash screen image. We've discovered. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
There's an icon that would appear in the applications list on the phone, and the background image for the background of the tile. Now, there's two interesting XAML files in here, app.xaml and mainpage.xaml. I'm going to start with app.xaml, which actually doesn't have much XAML in it. It doesn't actually paint up. It's kind of, this app.xaml, app is your root object for an application. If you're a Windows Forms developer, this is equivalent to program.cs. So this is the first bit of logic that runs. It's like all XAML files, it has XAML, which is this XML here, which just doesn't actually really define anything. These phone application service events in here, this is the stuff about the application lifetime that we're going to cover a good chunk of session 3 looking into that. But for now, we can leave that to one side. But the interesting thing here is if we right-click on here and say View Code, this is the code behind. So it's a code behind model if you're not familiar with Silverlight, but will be familiar to those of you who have done Windows Forms. So we have XAML on the front, which is the UI representation, and then we have some code behind it. And in this here, this is the first code that runs when the application launches. And in the app constructor, well, we hook up an event handler for the unhandled exception event. Then we call initialize component, standard Silverlight initialization. And then we initialize the phone application, and which is down at this section at the bottom. And this gets the whole thing running. So this is just your bootstrap logic, if you like.
When your phone runs the program, basically it makes an instance of this thing and then fires it up.
Yep.
So if you're looking for where the main method is, I guess, in old-style, old-school programming terms, this is it.
This is the guy.
As far as you're concerned, at least when you get started, having told you about this file, we can now forget about it.
Indeed.
Because it's just a piece of glue that gets things going.
We will come back to it. Mm-hmm. But this is the first screen that your users see. So this is a classical Visual Studio layout for a XAML file. On the left, we've got our... I'll just hide that out of the way. On the left, we've got the image of the thing, and you can actually zoom it in and out like this. You might get bigger or smaller. And this button at the bottom is zoom to fit. And then on the right, we've got our XAML. So the first thing we're going to do is we want to change a few things on here. So I guess we want to probably change the name of the application. So we can click on an item in there, and actually you may not see this, but it's picking it out in grey there. I think you can see that. And this is the text block control. So this let's just dissect this page a little bit. So at the top here, we've got the XML that declares that this is a phone application page, and you see these little bits here, phone colon. These are namespace declarations, and in fact, this phone one is declared just below. Here's the phone one, which tells you that anything that's prefixed with phone is an object that you'll find in the Microsoft.phone.controls namespace, which you'll find in the assembly called Microsoft.phone. Now, one thing, if you have been doing any development with the CTP, the original version of the Windows Phone Developer Tools that was released back at Mix in March and then updated in April when Visual Studio RTM 2010 RTM came out. One change here that in the beta you say over here, a lot of the assemblies that we had for Microsoft Phone, there was a lot of different DLLs that were used for Microsoft Phone apps, and these have all been now compressed into one. So we've just got one, Microsoft.phone.dll, which now has all of these objects in it. So we've got a phone prefix that we're declaring here, namespace declaration, saying anything that's phone is found in there. Anything that's shell is found in the Microsoft.phone.shell namespace in the same assembly, and so on. You can see there's various other namespace declarations. These static resource things, I'll come onto that in a little while. Now, underneath that, we've got, here we get to the actual interesting thing. Here we've got a grid called layout route. And this is our outer container for the XAML on this page. And inside this grid, inside layout route, we've got two rows that have been defined here. So the top row, row 0, is where this stuff is. You see now underneath that we've got a stack panel, and that's got an attribute on it that says grid.row equals 0. So all of this stuff that's inside this title panel is sitting in row zero of the grid. And back in the row definition, you can see that it's given a height of auto, which means basically this row will auto-size itself to contain the content. So this stack panel, title panel, is sitting in here. And in it, we've got two text blocks. First of all, the application title, which is currently set to the text of my application. And I'm going to change that to money. What do you want to call it?
Management.
Management.
Basically, it's wife staying with management, because if I go out there and it's a wonderful camera and we can't eat for the week, this doesn't go down too well.
No.
So that's what it's for.
And the next text block is the page title, and it's currently set to the text of page name, and of course this is damage calc, which if we're following the styling is lowercase.
Oh, cool, yes, of course.
Indeed. Now then, and here we've got, and this is it actually, I mean, if we scroll down, there's some commented out stuff that it creates you, it very helpfully shows you how to create an application bar, which we're going to cover in the next hour. And then inside here we've got our content grid, which is sitting on grid.row equals 1. So this is where we're going to create our content. So Mr. Miles, what would you like me to put in here?
I want the word price followed right. by a text box that contains where I can type in my price and the word damage and another one that shows me the damage and then a button, please.
Okay, so, all right, very good. So you just want me to drag these on and stick them on? Yeah.
Yep, I mean, okay. The nice thing about it is you can just drop things onto the screen and put them there, or you can use the power of the grids and what have you to make things auto-position. And that's particularly interesting when you start changing the phone orientation. If you want to build an application that automatically deals with the fact it's been tipped onto its side, and has your program keeping going, then in that situation you can start looking at making the layouts orientation aware and doing clever things to sort that out. So you've got that power, more of that a bit later, but what Andy's now doing is basically picking up, in Windows Forms land, we're looking at labels and text boxes. In Silverlight, the names of the things are different, but the behavior is just the same.
Okay. So I've dragged some objects out of the toolbox, and you will see that actually it's also generated, while I was doing that, generated me a lot of XML, lots of XAML inside my content grid, which is where I put all this stuff. Now, as you can see, this is a grid here. This is a container control, so there are a number of container controls in Silverlight. The grid is the one that's used here. And we've actually got a grid inside a grid, if you see what I mean. We've got, this is the outer grid, the layout root one, which is the whole visible area you can see there. And then, as I mentioned, we've got the stack panel. Stack panel is another kind of container control, which a control that contains other controls, as its name, as the classification suggests. So stack panel is an interesting one because it has a default orientation, just means the default orientation, and it's not stated here, so I can actually explicitly state the orientation is equal to horizontal or vertical. You see we've got nice IntelliSense there. The default is vertical. I'm going to just explicitly say that. So that you can see this is why our money management is the first control inside that stack panel. And because it's vertical orientation, the next object, next control, which is our page title text block, that sits underneath that and is vertically oriented. If you change that orientation to horizontal, of course, they would go across the screen.
From a form designer's perspective, where you have to fiddle around with things like putting springs in to line things up, stack panel's great because you just lob things in and they'll come out in the right place above each other. And width and things doesn't matter, it all sorts it out for you.
Yeah. At this point, we'd like to just introduce you to our technical support here, Bob, because our screen needs refreshing.
If you wonder why it suddenly got dark, it's because the big light in front of us, that's our previous screen, has vanished, and so we now have to have someone move the mouse. We're back.
We have a cast of thousands behind us. You may think we're in an empty room here, but we're indebted to our wonderful support team here. Yeah. Thank you, guys. All right. Now, so you want that to, this is a bit kind of, can't see anything, can we? Let's
ambiguify it, as the technical term goes.
Yeah.
It's called ambiguification, this.
Yeah.
Yes.
So can we? So you can see, if you select one, we're in here, and it's got a name, text blocks one. The text is default to text block, so we want to change that to price.
Yep.
And what do you think you want? Is that small? That's a bit small,
bigger.
Isn't it? You want it?
That's too. That's as a customer. That's
okay.
Too small.
All right. Okay. So let's go off and go and have a look at the. We have a properties window. If I can find it.
Yes. The other thing that you should bear in mind is if you are a forms developer, you're used to actually modifying the appearance of screen components by fiddling with their properties. You can do that too. You've basically got three ways you can work with stuff. You can move it around on the design surface. You can edit the XAML. Or you can mess around with the properties. And that's nice. I mean, I looked at the XAML and I went, what's the XAML for? I've been using properties for years. Why would I want to mess around with this sort of red and blue stuff? And the answer is because it's quicker. Because I can copy this stuff and move it around. And I can build quick user interfaces much faster than dragging and dropping and adjusting properties. You just go in there and change the bits you want and modify the code. And it turns out that actually getting your head around how XAML works is a good way of speeding up the rate at which you can design pages. And because you can use the auto layout powers that things like stack panels give you, you don't have to worry quite so much about putting things in the right place. You just put them relative to each other, and then the container controls sort out precisely how they appear. And so it's very useful in that respect as well.
Indeed. So I'm just...
Andy's doing a sterling job here, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
It's looking really nice.
Yeah, this is, I think, get this in the marketplace, Rob, and
our futures are short.
Yeah.
We'll be millionaires by Christmas.
Yep. Now then, a button. So
we have a one-to-one chat thing on our screen. Is that meant to be? That's okay. I'm worrying. Yeah.
Nothing to do with me.
Nothing to do with me, no. That's,
I can't see that, no. All right, so... This object's a bit wide out there, isn't it?
Yeah, so we can drag handles, we can move things around, we can...
Oh, yeah, by the way, here, you see these tabs here? If you want to look at just the... we can double-click things, and now we've just got the design surface. So you've got flexibility in there. I want to bring that in there, and bring that in there.
And the other thing that's worth mentioning is if you really want to go to town on this and put animations on transitions and stuff, then you can do all this using using expression.
And we'll show you a bit of that later
so
on.
The nice thing is that you've got a tremendous range, and it all works on the phone and looks fantastic. When you see the finished product, which Andy spent last night working on apparently, he didn't go to sleep, he just worked on this solidly all the way through, which big respect to the man, then I think you'll agree that it's worth the effort.
Yeah, exactly. So what's the cut when we get this in marketplace?
Well, I don't know. We'll talk about that later.
Right,
I have an agent that deals with that. I don't sully my fingers with the money, obviously.
So this is a button. Now, as with Windows Forms, you could double-click on the design surface, but I'm actually going to do this in the XAML. And so I type in click. And we get a new event handler, so I can hit tab, and it will create us a button 1 underscore click event handler. And then we can right-click on it, and in the context menu, we can navigate to event handler. So now we're into our code behind here. We need to have a bit of logic in here.
One thing to bear in mind here is that lesser people use code snippets and just paste things in. But we're actually going to do this the hard way with the keys because we are that good. Or at least Andy is that good.
Yeah, actually I'm not. I'm going to switch to... I'm just going to switch to... No, I'm just conscious. No, I'm conscious. I've got a lot of interesting stuff that we want to cover. And I'm actually, rather than bore you with me typing logic that I'm not going to remember and we're going to have debugging errors, I'm actually going to switch to...
So having said that,
the solution, if you like, because this will make it a better experience. Okay, here we go. I think
so. Yep. This is the code that you can download off the actual site.
Yep.
And so you could be ahead of us at this point if you wanted to, and see how the guts of the application actually behave. The thing I like about it is that I came to this from Forms by way of a little bit of WPF background, and I came in learning how to do this, and everything that I've touched and played with has actually made the business of making my applications better and easier. From not knowing what XAML is for to being completely converted to it.
Yep.
Didn't take too long.
Yep.
Very nice.
So here's our logic. We've got calc button click, and inside it, I'm sure that eagle-eyed amongst you will notice the immediate problem with all this, in that the exchange rate, of course, is hard-coded. Here we go. So when we actually get to version 2 of this app, after the complaints start rolling in from our rubbish version 1 that's on Marketplace, we're actually going to imbue this with web cloud services.
This is where the word beta becomes very useful, because the first one that goes out will, of course, be the beta.
Indeed.
But the idea is that you could make it location aware, so it goes online, figures out where you are, pulls down the exchange rate and tax rate for where you are, and sets itself all up.
Now, in here, I'm going to run this thing. As you'll see, we've got a drop-down. You can run it on a Windows Phone 7 emulator, or if you're fortunate enough to have a Windows Phone 7 device, we could run it on there. More on that later, but we're going to stick with the emulator. Run it up on there. So here's the emulator coming up. It's doing a complete OS boot, which fortunately doesn't take too long.
So now you're going to watch a Windows Phone actually start up from cold.
This is the first one, yeah, because... like Rob said earlier, we set this machine up last night, so this is the first time this thing has run. So,
another joke.
Yep.
Okay, there's two lions walking down 8th Avenue in Bellevue, and one lion says to the other, "It's a bit quiet for a Saturday, isn't it?" No?
Sorry.
Okay. I quite like that. Another one, okay, profound question. What's red and not there?
I don't know what's written not there.
No tomatoes. That's a meta joke, actually. That's beyond joke. I'm just watching the numbers that just have declined at this point. I'll save my final joke for when we start the XNA later. But those are two of my favourite jokes and a measure of the quality you're getting.
Terrific.
Absolutely.
Yeah, wonderful.
In the meantime, we've now got a version of Windows Phone which is running in the emulator. It's now limbering up. The application's being deployed to it. And in a few seconds, Damage Calc in all its glory will be displayed for your delectation. There it is. Did you see the splash screen?
Yeah, the splash up screen was up there for an instant, which with a tiny app like this, obviously you don't get to see it. But by the time you've created a more sophisticated app, your startup logic, there may well be more that you're doing in order to get the app launched. So then that splash screen becomes more significant. And one hot tip with the splash screen, one thing you might want to consider doing is actually making your splash screen an image of the opening screen, to look pretty, you know, similar layout, like the actual image of what it looks like, because that will also give the user the illusion that the app is active faster than it actually is. So.
Other devices have been known to use this in the past.
Yep.
It's a trick. But as far as we're concerned now, I've got a thing which will make me happy, because I can say, okay, the camera's $150, so you're going to put in the price of $150?
Okay, so here we've got a non-optimized version of Damage Calc. So we've got the SIP has appeared, but I have to go down here and click this button to get the numbers up, and then clear that, and then $100, you said?
$100, yeah.
$100, okay. That's good. So we put our 100 as the price, and then we hit calculate, and that tells us that's 76 of her queen's pounds.
Very good. Yep. Yes, I could handle that.
Yep. Okay. So, and actually, it works both ways. We could put a number in there and hit calculate, and it would tell you what the US dollars equivalent was as well.
Oh, that's very clever.
We could do that. So, version 1, get it shipped.
Yes, that's right. I'll put in the order for the Rolls-Royce now, shall I?
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Yep. But clearly, there's room for improvement. Let's get back just a couple of slides. So that was version 1, with a button. Now then. Well, I want to talk about... when do we lose the button? Is that after this?
No, what happens now is that you've got one of the nice things about the phone is you can change the way the actual screen appears.
Mm-hmm.
So if I go into my... can I have a little play?
Absolutely.
Oh, good. Uses it. So if I go back to my desktop...
You're going to have to...
Get the phone back. Get the phone back, Rob. I'll do this because I know this, but this is quite sweet. If I go back into my phone, then the program's still running, so I'll stop it running, which is just pressing the stop there. And so what happens now is I get the phone back. Okay. But because the application's been deployed to the phone, it's still there. So I'm now just playing with the emulator. I could open up the browser and do things as well. If I click on here, Damage Calc will actually start up. And I get my splash screen, and then up it comes again, and I can play with it again. If I press back, I go back to the original thing. And what I want to do now, is the next bit that we're talking about, is if I go in here, I can make changes to how the phone appears. So I go into the theme, and I say, okay, I don't like white on black. I want black on white. So I'm going to flip my display the other way around. Still looks nice, but all the font colors have changed. If I now go back into my application, and I go back again to the programs and fire up Damage Calc, the thing which is interesting as far as we're concerned is that now Damage Calc is skinned correctly as well.
Woo!
Yes, that's worth a round of applause in anybody's book. But as far as we're concerned... Oh, thank you, that's so nice. As far as we're concerned, we did nothing. We just picked up the behaviours of the common controls, dropped them on there, and they do the right thing auto-magically. So you don't have to take any extra effort to get that rather nice effect. So we can drop back to the presentation, and that's what the next demo is pretty much all about. That's where we're going with that one. So if you stick within the rules, then if they change the highlight colour and you're using boxes that, that pop up messages, the colours will all line up as well. So that's what the next section is really all about. And I think having shown you it working, we can probably actually tiptoe past that because that's what we're talking about here.
Yep.
Themes are all driven. You can change it how you like, but the application will pick those up. And I think bearing in mind that we're running a little bit low on time, we can take that on board. You've seen it. White Damage Calc.
Indeed. Now,
sorry.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob.
It's okay. I like taking over. I'm just like that.
So, how does this magic happen? Well, what we've got, let's just go back to our solution here. Now, look at our mainpage.xaml. And let's just hide the... let's just have a look at the XAML here. So, well, one clue as to why the background went white was actually our layout root has a background of transparent, which is one reason why it picked that up. So the phone settings came through on that. But in general, right, one thing I don't particularly like about the implementation we've come up so far is that we've got some sort of hard-coded heights and font sizes and widths and all this sort of thing for our labels in here. And what I'm going to do is blow that away. And this is the... I hate that width. I'm sure you all do. You lose focus. Right, I'll do that. Now, I'm going to blow this away. And, and instead, rather than explicitly setting font sizes and widths and things, for, this is for the text on that screen, I'm going to use one of the built-in styles. So what we do here is we style equals... and then we do a curly bracket, and it gives us a couple of options on here. And I'm going to choose the static resource, and I'm going to put a bit of magic text in here, phone text, large, style. So where does that come from? And if we go back to the... I'm going to actually... Where's the other one? There we go. I'm going to... just remove the font size, it was 32 off the other one, and then show the design again. Oh, reload it.
Yeah, the people with may have spotted that actually the top message and name damage calc are also styled using the same static resource mechanism.
Yeah.
So what we're doing here is we're leveraging the fact that the phone gives us all these built-in look and feel things so that we can hook into that, and it's all completely consistent.
Yep.
And if that ever changes for reason of display resolution or whatever, doesn't matter because our application will look the same. If you were looking very closely at the very first slides we showed about the platform, you'll find there were two graphic sizes. But if you make use of these kind of things, the sizes that you set the items on the screen is irrelevant because they'll look right on the device.
Yeah,
fair comment?
That's exactly right, yeah.
Good man.
So I've taken the explicit size settings on off the second text box, and you see, of course, that is its normal resolution, if you like. But so again, on this one, we can say style equals curly brackets, static resource, and the phone text large style on it. Now, the reason why it's good practice to use these built-in styles is that when phones come out with different screen sizes, you won't have to rewrite your code because it will the phone text large style definition will be set appropriately for that platform because these styles are kind of baked into the runtime on this particular phone. These are what this is doing when this static resource syntax is going into a resource dictionary and pulling out the item in that resource dictionary with the name phone text large style. Now, you can't actually, yes, so they're baked into the runtime. So how do we know what they actually are? And this is, it's interesting to see how this all this styling is done. And also how these controls are styled appropriately for Windows Phone. With the text boxes have got this particular layout. Because one interesting thing about Silverlight controls is that it's often said that they are lookless controls. A Silverlight control, when you sort of trim all the coatings off and get down to its bare essentials, it has no appearance. There is no fixed appearance for a Silverlight control. It's all driven by Moore XAML. More XAML than you can see in here, and in Expression Blend you can go in and edit that sort of thing. But let me show you that XAML. So if we go to the way that you can look up what these particular style, the static resource names are, like phone text, large style, and a good number of others, as you'll see, is if you go open Windows Explorer and you go to your program files folder. Oops. I didn't want to do that. Let me just touch mouse. Open window program files. Go to Microsoft SDKs. Is that the right one? Windows Phone.
Version 7.
Version 7. Here we go. Design. So what is here? What is in here? Actually, here are all the different themes. Light blue. This is all the different combinations of light and dark background and all the different 10 accent colors you can set on a Windows Phone. And inside there are customized versions of system.windows and themeresources.xaml. So let's just open up themeresources.xaml. I'm going to edit it in Notebook. And here are all the definitions of all the built-in styles that you can use. So it's on the slide deck, the path to this. So you can see that we've got a style here. In a style resource dictionary, you always have this X key thing. And inside that is the string name, the key that is used to look up this particular thing in the resource dictionary. So this tells you that the default phone foreground color for design is FFFFF, which is all white with no alpha. The fourth one is the alpha, whether it's transparent or not.
Transparency value, basically. Yep.
And the phone background color by default, and this is what is driving what you're seeing in the designer. Just move that out of the way.
Basically, we've got the car, we've lifted the bonnet up, hood, sorry, when we're now looking inside the engine and how it actually fits together and what makes it go.
Yeah.
And the reason why we're doing this is because A, we like doing that because we're techie people and we like this kind of stuff, and B, because it gives you a wonderful insight into precisely how it all fits together. And so once you understand how the XAML works, then you can understand it right down to the metal, because this is basically sitting on top of how things are rendered.
So all of these colors and font sizes are in here. And in fact, phone text title one style, phone text normal style. Well, now we're getting into areas that we recognize, because if we go and look in here on our title block, which was already set in the template, like just at the very top of the screen there, we've got the money management is phone text normal style, which is your normal sort of small size stuff. And then the phone text title one style is the one that Damage Calc is using. So you need to just go and look at what these styles are and try and use them for sizing all your control objects and this sort of thing. So this is quite important. Our time is running away from us, Rob, so I'm going to move on very quickly. And I'm just going to go to the slides for the next bit.
I mean, the really good news for developers that are new to this and thinking, oh my goodness, red and blue, scary stuff, don't worry. Just drop the controls on there and you can make your first applications like that with no problem at all. But you're going to want to tinker. You're going to want to make yours look better than the other guys. And from that point of view, knowing how the XAML fits together and how to use it is a really, really useful skill to pick up.
Yep. So this is explaining what I've just shown you. So we have a built-in resource dictionary containing all those standard styles, and there's the path at the bottom. And like there are resources for your brushes, for your text sizes, and for text display. So use those. And in addition, I didn't show you this, there's system.windows.xaml, which is, they are also the XAML templates for the standard controls. So this will be of interest to anybody who gets into control customization. If you want to see how the existing controls are styled using XAML templates, then you can find out, you can go and look at them in there and use them as models for your own modifications. I'm not going to have time to show you that. I'm going to skip past this. I'm going to explain it, but I'm not going to walk through it because I want to get onto the more interesting stuff before we have to wrap up for this hour.
Yeah, if you're a Windows developer, basically you're used to firing things off on events. If you look at our code carefully, there's no need to actually have a calculate button because you can fire on text change events, and that's what that demonstration does.
And there's a good, actually interesting mobile design point on that point. So what this demo, and I'll show you in a minute, is we lose the button, and instead we're firing text changed events. So as you type in the value for your price, it's doing the calculation and changing it on the fly, which means you're reducing the number of taps that your user has to do. And any input on a phone is a bad idea. If you can do anything to reduce the amount of input that the user has to make with the device and give them as simply as possible their answer, this is a good application. The keyboards thing, as you saw in the first version of this damage calc, we weren't getting the appropriate keyboard up. We were having to switch to the numeric keyboard. And again, that's another annoying key press, annoying screen tap that your user has to do. And anything that's annoying is going to make the user experience worse. So there are some extensions. This input scope extension on the text box, and you can see the XAML there. So you can, there are a number of ways of doing this. This is the kind of long-winded way of defining your input scope. And I just give you this because the advantage of the long-winded way is you get IntelliSense.
Yeah.
So if you put a text box.input scope element, and inside that you have an input scope element, and inside that you have an in scope name element with a name value of digits, what that means is you get the keyboard up you can see on the right there with the numbers on it. So you get a hint to the system on which soft input panel layout to use, making your user's life better. Like I said, this is the long-winded way. You can actually simply put text box and put as a direct attribute on the text box. You can say text box space input scope name equals and then digits. But you don't get any IntelliSense. So once you get familiar with what you want, obviously you'll tend to use the shorthand way of doing it. How many versions of Damage Calc have we got, Rob?
A few. But this is basically showing you, if you pull this one down, you've basically got that code for you to steal.
Let's do that, otherwise we're going to jump.
Yeah, we can whiz past this one and keep moving forward, or because it's all there for you. Because we want
Let me show you, before we get into data binding, let's show you where we're up to on that. All right, so here we go.
The bottom line really is, if you want to write an application which reads numbers in and does things with them, then Damage Calc is a very, very, very good place to start. In fact, any kind of data entry process, something display result kind of application, you can use this as a template to get you going very easily and just add more inputs and more options and more behaviors as you fill it out. That's what it's there for.
Right, well, I've got everything closed here. Main page. So this is the version 4. We're already up to version 4 of this app. Unfortunately, no charge for putting updates into the marketplace. So we've revised this a number of times. And this time now we've got our input scope on this. We've got no button, and instead we've got a text change event. And if I go into the view code, this version of it. So we've enhanced our user's life. And here we've got price, text box, text change, and damage text box text change to invoke the logic automatically to update it. And if we run that version of Damage Calc, we'll see that we get the enhanced experience. So I'm going to click on the price thing, and there you see we've got our number keyboard come up. So 67, oh, okay. I'm 760.
That's still good value. Still very good value.
That's right.
But again, another thing to pick up is the fact that we're running on a phone now which has a white background, so of course all our controls and everything are that way as well.
Yep.
So this is looking like a product now. This is actually looking quite quite exciting.
Yeah, and it's a nice, easy thing. So better user experience. Okay. So that's where we're up to with that. Data binding then.
Okay, so shall we do that after a comfort break? How comfortable do you feel? I think if we pause now for 10 minutes and then come back?
Okay. You're the boss. Okay. So I was just in full flow there.
It's 10-2, it's comfort break time. So I think to keep to our schedule, what we'll do is we'll pause for a few minutes and then come back with the rest of it after that.
All right, so hurry back, because data mining is cool stuff, yeah. So we'll get straight back into that after we've had a break. Thanks. Okay.